Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, The Bird Show. All right, so I'm sure teachers, if you guys are listening right now, we'd love to get your take on this. Did this teacher cross a line? Too much information?
Yeah, this question is geared towards parents because I'm not a parent, but I know a lot of parents, including my girlfriend, and I was curious as to how you all would handle the situation because I'm at this point, I guess, where my girlfriend's daughter feels comfortable talking to me about her day. And I'm honored. And I'm like, okay, cool. Tell me what happened at school. Like, how's band going? And so one day she tells me that her teacher, she's talking about her teachers that she likes, the one she doesn't like. And she says, yeah, one of my teachers, she just every day, she's just like, just trauma dumping on us. Like, she's just telling us her whole life story. Like, she's engaged and she talks about how she wants to break off her engagement because she's just not in love with this guy.
She's telling the class this?
She's telling the class this. Now,
and,
mind you.
And again, how old are?
11.
So we're in middle school.
Sixth graders.
Okay.
So she's just rambling. Like, she's telling me, like, my girlfriend's daughter's just telling me everything that her teacher says. She's like, she tells me this and that. And some days she just comes in and she just acts like she's not happy because of her whole engagement that she's ready to call off. And I just look at her. I'm like, that's not okay for your teacher to tell you that. And at the same time, why would a teacher tell a group of sixth graders that.
Yeah, she just lost it, man.
I can't speak for how a parent would feel, but I don't understand why your girlfriend's daughter would be complaining about this. Because for me, all I know is if I'm sitting in math class and I don't want to do algebra and she's starting to trauma dump on me on why she hates her fiance, oh, I'm eating that up every time.
I get that because there was a time where my American government teacher in high school, she would do that. She talked about her how much she hated men. She would take a break from government and talk about hating men and why she was a cat. That lady, but as a parent, if your child tells you this, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I also would love to hear from teachers as well, who I know you guys are like up and like getting ready for school right now. So 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. As a parent, if my kid came home and told me this, I'm not going to let it slide because it's my child is not your therapy. You don't need to be trauma dumping on my kid. And I had a person in my life who did that. And it's, these kids can't help her. Like, they can't, it's not like they can give her sound advice as to how to fix her engagement. So this isn't going to stop until somebody stops it. And the kids don't need to hear that.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it nearly as seriously, to be honest with you. It's not like I'd go to the principal or anything. They'd come home, they would tell me the story. I would probably laugh it off. Is it inappropriate? Yes. Is it worth going to the principal for and reporting the teacher? I probably wouldn't go that far.
No, I'm not reporting the teacher to the principal. I'm talking to the teacher. I don't feel like you have to jump right to, let's have a conversation with somebody and get to the bottom of it. So at the teacher-parent conference, which I have one coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And so the kids are off school. They schedule times. You schedule time. You go and you talk to the teacher about your kid, right? I would walk into that parent-teacher conference and I would sit down and be like, oh, no, girl, we're not talking about Jimmy. What's going on with this divorce? Because my kid is coming home and telling me everything that's going on in your life.
You would not do that. That is your inner a-hole that I don't think you have in you.
I would want to do it. Wouldn't it be amazing if you did?
It would be.
And like, call her out. Be like, why are you telling your, like, why are you airing all your dirty laundry with our kids? They don't need to know this crap.
I'm going to the principal.
Are you?
I am, because I want it to be anonymous because I don't want backlash on my kid. Because if this teacher is the kind of teacher to trauma dump about her relationship to a bunch of 11-year-olds, then I feel like she's the type to be petty enough to like take it out on your kid. You know, like subtly, just make their life uncomfortable. So I would like to anonymously report it.
So you're saying we are not of sound mind here?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay. All right.
I say, hey, wear this mic so, and then I'll use it on the air on Monday.
Ooh.
Carrie, good morning. You're part of the Bird Show. Are you a teacher?
Yes, I teach fifth and I've taught sixth grade last year. I teach fifth grade this year.
Is this
around that age?
Is this fairly common for a teacher just to kind of lose it where they normally wouldn't like emotionally dump on their kids, but they do?
So I've known a couple that have done it, but no, personally, I would not. I don't think it's very professional. Yes, I also have kids too, but like, I understand wanting to vent. I get that. But you have coworkers that you commit to. 11-year-olds should not be hearing about that extent of your personal life.
Absolutely right.
I think it's tacky.
It's certainly, I mean, there's no denying it's inappropriate. It's just, what do you do with
exactly.
the info?
Yeah, we all agree that this is, she's out of pocket for doing this, but what are you supposed to do about it?
And imagine being the fiance and finding out that your engagement broke off because of a bunch of 11-year-olds' advice. Like, that's a new low.
She's coming in for the next lesson and be like, all right, I got my pros and my cons. At the end of class, everybody's going to vote whether or not I stay or I call off the engagement.
It just feels like a Saturday Night Live skit to me where Chris Farley comes in and he's just losing it on the students. It's more funny than anything else. But yeah, what you do with the info, that's the serious part about it right now.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I experienced the kind of technology yesterday that I love that I know Kristen is absolutely going to be freaked out by. Have you guys gone through one of those just walkout stores from Amazon yet?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
Is there one here?
Yes, in Truist. So I was at the Braves game yesterday, and these Amazon just walkout stores are, this one in particular, it's at section 131. I know that because that's where our tickets were. And it's a big Crown Royale sign all across of it, right? Right? You go up there, you give them your credit card, you swipe it, right? For your purchase, before you even go into this closed off area, you swipe your credit card, you go in there, you get your food items, and then you just walk out. And on the way out, somewhere there is a camera or something figuring out what's in your hands, and you just walk out of there. I got some booze yesterday, walked right out of there. As I walked out, he's like, hey, the only rule we got here is that you got to open it up, because I guess they don't want you to bring it out of the stadium. Mm. And it charges right to your credit card.
Wow.
I don't know how it works, but it feels illegal. It feels illegal.
So, all right. So you, let me get this right. So you pay us before you even walk in the
little, it's like a little bar area, really.
Okay. So you pay,
it's all in refrigerators, by the way. So it's all canned stuff. You probably pick up yourself a Dasani or whatever.
It's a help yourself. And then you open it, you walk out, and somehow, some way, they know what you got and they charge your card.
They know what you have in your hands and they charge your card.
So it's just like concessions and stuff?
This is all drinks.
Because up north, I have friends that live near Philly, and they were posting over the weekend that they were at this Amazon store, and it's got these buggies with like these little headlight things, and the buggy reads it was like a grocery store.
So cool.
And you go in it, and there's no people in there. You just scan all your stuff and pay in the grocery cart. And you just go.
So you put the items in the cart and it knows what you put in there.
Yes. You like scan it and you pay for it and you roll out.
Technology making it too easy to spend money.
It's crazy. And have you also seen like the hand, I don't even know what to call them.
It's like a hand scanner.
It's a hand scanner, mm-hmm. Right. So I guess before you go to one of these stores that has a hand scanner, so you have your credit card machine if you still have the old school credit card, right? But you can go onto an app and you could tie that credit card into your palm print.
Nope.
Wait,
yep.
What?
Yes. No. So now when you go into one of these stores, you don't have to break out a credit card. You just put your hand over the scanner. It ties to your credit card. You go buy whatever you want.
I am not giving Amazon my fingerprints.
I know it would freak you out.
They have that at the Whole Foods right down here on Roswell Road.
Do they?
You can pay by palm print. I'm not doing it either. I am very wary of giving anyone my fingerprint.
Kristen, have you seen the one where you just spit on the scanner and pay for it? And you give them your DNA and they give it to you for free.
Our break room has a thumbprint for pain. Like, I tried to do it the other day. I didn't know how to set it up, but I was like, this would be great. I can stop bringing my phone into the break room every time I need a little snacky snack.
I do like this for the people who constantly forget their wallet, though. Don't matter. Give me your hand.
Right. You can't forget a hand.
No.
I'm so
your
sorry.
Hand is on you, right?
But I thought of that and I went through there yesterday and I'm like, Kristen would be totally freaking out right now.
Yeah, that would make me feel odd.
Hey, Lisa, good morning. You are part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just calling to let you guys know how that Amazon store works.
Yeah.
They have this new system where they have tags that there's something that reads the tags. But anyway, they put these on your products, and they know the price. They know what's on it. So when you leave the store, the store does a scan and knows that these three things are missing, and it charges your card.
But how do they know it's my card to charge?
Mm.
Because do they allow multiple people in there at a time? Because we have a cooler system where I work, And when you open the cooler door, you have to swipe your card at the cooler door.
No.
And when you close the cooler, it does a scan, and all the items that are missing are now charged to your card.
No, this wasn't
so
what
that's the way ours works.
This wasn't like that, because I've used something like that. Like, if you're in a hotel, if you pull any kind of item out of the refrigerator, there's technology now that it knows what you pulled out and it charges you. This was not like that. So Amanda and I both walked in. She ended up with like a beer in her hand. I had a beer in my hand. And as we walked out, it just charged my credit card.
That is odd.
It's so crazy.
I don't know where the cameras are. It's
and like, how did they know to put both drinks on your credit card? Like, how did they know?
How did they know
she was on your credit card?
I don't know.
I looked it up. It's a combination of computer vision, object recognition, advanced sensors, deep machine learning models, and AI. So it probably scans your face, would be my guess, and links your face to the credit card.
I'm not looking at that.
It was awesome. It was really awesome.
That's too advanced.
Sure, I'm going to have to cancel all of my credit cards today, but man, that was fun.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whole bunch of dudes on TikTok right now calling out women for a stereotype, and unfortunately Abby is being seen right now.
Yeah, I don't think I know I fall into a gender stereotype that is not allowing me to rep women well. So, like, have you ever ended up on incel side of TikTok where it's just like a bunch of men with microphones with all their little misogynistic takes? Like, you watch one Andrew Tate video on accident and then the rest of your For You page is just like horrible takes for days and days. Well, I had ended up getting into a bad news cycle like a couple of weeks ago, and I got on the side of TikTok where it was just men with podcasts with their little bad takes, and then women stitching it, and me kind of getting into this deep hole of listening to what men had to say. And I think I get kind of morbidly curious about what's going on in their little brains. You know, like, what do they really think about men or women when we're not around? And there was this one TikTok video that was going around with one of those takes, and I had seen it going viral like months and months back, and it was kind of having a resurface on my For You page. And it was a couple of different podcasts with this same exact take. And the first time I had seen this going around, I'd kind of ignored it because I didn't think much of it, didn't think it really applied to me. And then it came up on my For You page a couple of weeks ago because a woman was stitching it. And then I saw all the stitches that other women were doing with it. And
for those that don't know what a stitch is, if you're not on TikTok.
So on TikTok, basically, you can attach your video to somebody else's video. So if I have a video where I'm like, tell me what your favorite color is, somebody can stitch that part and just keep the part where I'm saying, what's your favorite color? And they can stitch me with a video that says, my favorite color is aquamarine because it reminds me of my grandma's pool or something like that.
It's very fascinating stuff.
Yes, it really is. And especially when you get on incel side of TikTok. And so this take that was going around was basically men saying that women, most women, are boring because they don't have hobbies. And I was like, wrong. I have hobbies. And all these
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are not a hobby.
Listen, believing in love is a hobby if you want it to be.
Okay.
Abby's like, wrong, man. I have hobbies and I'm still boring.
So it was all these women basically explaining what their hobbies were, and it was all these baddies like showing videos of them being equestrians and like cakes that they've baked and competitions that they've won and novels that they've written. And I was like, wow, women are great. What am I going to stitch with them to show that women have hobbies and interests and are awesome and have hobbies? And I was like, shoot, I don't have hobbies. I might be just as boring as they're claiming that I am. Because, like, I was really kind of feeling down because there are all these women, like, doing really cool things, like knitting blankets and just all these incredible feats. And I'm thinking, what do I do every day? And I was kind of like, oh, my God, I live in Groundhog Day. Like, I wake up, I go to work, I work out, I read my little fairy porn books, I go home.
That's a hobby? That's a hobby.
Reading's a hobby?
Yes, reading's a hobby.
I thought hobbies were, like, things you had to do. To like you create things, you reach goals. To me, reading is sort of like the equivalent of watching TV. Like I'm doing it for entertainment.
TV's a hobby too.
TV's a hobby. Yeah. We have had this fight before.
I know, and you were wrong then and you're wrong now.
Whatever.
Watching TV is not a hobby.
It's not a hobby.
But it is. But see, that's my opinion. Like, what's really the difference of me sitting down and watching a TV show versus reading a book purely for my own entertainment? Not like a self-help book of, like, how to be a good leader. Like, you know, fairies banging.
Would you say going to the cinema is a hobby if you appreciate movies?
Going to the cinema.
Why did you say going to the movies? You trying to put some spice on it?
Yes. See, trying to bedazzle it so it qualifies as a friggin' hobby.
Going to the cinema is a hobby. Going to the movies is not.
I actually know what you're saying. Yes. Like if you go to one of those independent movie houses and you're watching some independent movie, that could be a hobby. You go to AMC, you suck.
I watched Barbie and that was a hobby. Thank you very much.
Abby, I feel like your overachiever status is showing. Like a hobby is something that brings you joy that you do, like reading, and it's active. You don't have to have an end result. Like you don't have to produce the largest blanket. You don't have to bike ride the most number of miles. It's simply something that you do that brings you joy. Bird watching is a hobby.
Listening to true crime podcast is a hobby.
Oh, so
I'm with you here. I don't get like, I don't think we are built this way. Like if I am doing something, I am doing something to improve on it for me to look at it at the end of the day and go, oh, I got really good at that. Or I won a blue ribbon. I don't understand the whole like doing something just for the fun of it and then moving on to work. I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense to me either. And don't get me wrong. There are things I do that I enjoy, but I think when I was watching so many women doing it with like these incredible end goals, like I saw this woman who was an equestrian and I'm like, that's one hell of a hobby. And here I am just like reading Fourth Wing for the fifth time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't know why, but for me, it only feels like a hobby if it has an end goal. Like if there's some form of completion at the end of it that I've accomplished something, then it feels like a hobby. Whereas watching TV, you're just watching TV.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on now. Yeah.
How about this for a hobby?
That's like saying sleeping.
No, stop. No.
Right. Sleeping. When does it stop if we allow TV to be a hobby?
The dictionary definition of hobby, an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure. That's the definition of hobby.
I mean, sitting on the couch and watching TV is not a hobby, man.
It is to some.
All right. How about this? You have a very successful podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, that you do in your free time for fun, and you just hit 1 million downloads. How is that not a super impressive hobby?
Because I got a check for it. I don't know. It feels like work to me. Like
okay,
work.
But if somebody like knitted blankets and they sold them on Etsy for fun, is that then not a hobby anymore?
To me, then that feels like work again.
Yep.
I don't know.
Once you get a check, it's not a hobby anymore.
Oh, my God. Well, then you work too much to have a hobby.
Yes. There you go. Yes. Yeah.
Who's got time for hobbies, man?
I guess I'll take up Legos like the rest of the incels.
Weren't you also the person that said your kids were a hobby?
Yeah, but I backtracked on that. That was just a sad place I was in that day.
This is The Bird Show.
So your kid wants to be a streamer and you're like, oh my God, what a waste. What? A streamer? Jackson came in here a couple of weeks ago and told you how much the top streamers are making, which might tweak your attitude about it. So now maybe you got a kid that wants to be in esports. They are playing sports online all day long and you think it's a big old waste of time, huh? Well, they're making just as much money.
I realized that after the streamer break that I did where we're talking about $100 million two-year contracts, we're talking about million-dollar donations, may have come out of the gate a little hot, okay? Because last night when I was doing research into this, spent about an hour and a half looking up a bunch of stuff, and honestly, I was a little taken back by I think I was a little shocked about, it wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be.
For esports.
For esports specifically. So esports, for those of you who don't know, is basically the competitive gaming industry. This is where people compete in tournaments to try and be the best. And not only is it for bragging rights, there's also a lot of money that goes into like these prize pools and tournaments.
Do we call them athletes? Esports athletes?
No.
We do not?
I would call them a gamer, but I wouldn't call them an athlete.
So what you have to know about esports also, if you don't know anything about it, there are some competitions where people will go and they will fill stadiums, 25, 30, 35,000 people will watch people compete on stage against each other. There are some countries now, I think Japan is giving out scholarships now in esports. They have dorm rooms just for their e-athletes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing, and I will say that it's here to stay, and it's only growing. So in 2021, that's the first time that the esports market specifically eclipsed over $1 billion in sort of their market value, and now it's risen to around $1.6 billion. And so it's really interesting seeing, because a lot of these players that compete at the highest level of whatever game it is that they play in are also content creators and streamers. So they're not solely making their money off of just their prize earnings when they, you know, win or place in tournaments. It comes from other things as well.
There's also a lot of sponsorship money that comes into play also. It's no different than being an athlete. I mean, a surfer that's traveling around the world has a sponsor also, right? No different than esports. And a lot of them, not many, but the top percentage makes a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely. And so I found some of the more interesting facts about sort of, you know, prize pools and viewership and things like that that I'm going to run by you guys. And I'm curious to know, like, how surprised are you by this? And sort of, do you actually see a future in any of this? So to start, the single largest prize pool of any tournament was in 2021. And that was for a game called Dota 2. And that was $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And that's the total prize pool. So similar to like how a golf tournament works, uh-huh. That's the entire pot. And then it's split up amongst the people who place.
I watched a documentary on this, and it is intense, especially when you have that kind of money for grabs. I mean, the politics in esports and team members on these teams competing for that much money is like any other sport.
What's Dota 2?
Dota 2 is this top-down game. It's a strategy sort of game. It's a 5v5 team-based game. And you play as like different heroes. And this game came out in like 2013, I think, and it's still more popular than ever. Honestly, mm-hmm. All of the biggest prize pools and top earners in this entire industry come from this game, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And so the number one winner of that won $18.2 million. That was what the first place winner got.
One tournament.
For winning the finals of this one tournament.
And was that split amongst
team members? It's split amongst the entire team, exactly.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And something that's super cool about this tournament specifically is that the host of this tournament is actually the developer of the game itself, this company called Valve. And so there are in-game purchases that you can make, like that regular people like us can make as you're playing the game. And 25% of all of your purchases that you make in-game contribute towards this prize pool. So the more that you contribute to the game, the higher the prize pool is for the winners.
Good Lord, how much has the developer made on this game?
A lot of money. A lot of money. So the single top earning esports player of all time is this guy from Denmark, Johan Sundsteen, who earned...
Oh, Sundsteen!
Sundsteen! Such good people!
So his career earnings are $7.2 million. And I'm not saying that that's not a lot of money, but honestly, I was a little bit shocked. I thought that it was going to be higher than that. And so after some more digging, I found that the top earner from a single tournament, this guy Kyle, Buga is what he goes by. This was 2019, the Fortnite World Cup in a solos tournament. He won $3 million for that one tournament by itself.
That feels like a lot of money to me. When you're talking about playing a video game, yeah, there's training involved and stuff like that also, but $17 million or $3 million for playing video games and esports seems like a tremendous amount of money to me.
So not being a gamer myself and not being married to a person who's a gamer. So I know people who game and it's like hours and hours and hours on end, right? So these tournaments... How long do they last? Because this isn't like a Super Bowl game where you're like, you're investing probably like 4 hours of your time. So how long does a tournament last? Like, how do you figure out who wins?
It totally depends on the game. So for this one, for Fortnite, I remember watching this one live where this kid won, and he's not part of
the
a
Fortnite
team.
The Fortnite one?
The Fortnite one. So he won this on his own. So he won that $3 million. And So for this tournament specifically, there's all these qualifiers that you have to play in prior to actually showing up to the event. And then the main event is what they call a LAN tournament, where everybody actually is getting together and playing in the same place. So this actually happened at Arthur Ashe Stadium up in New York. And I remember I was at a Braves game watching the finals on my phone when this was going on.
Are you serious?
And I watched this guy win. And he was 16-year-old kid, and he won this $3 million.
So it's really no different than Wimbledon or the U.S. Open, where you've got qualifiers that are leading up to the championship, so it could be a 3 or 4 day tournament.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so usually at the end, it's like a sort of best of five, but then there's points that you get for how you place, you know, how many eliminations you get, all that kind of stuff.
Fascinating.
And for a little bit of reference, Scottie Scheffler this year, who won the Masters tournament, won $3.6 million for that. So this kid won $3 million playing Fortnite.
Damn.
Another big aspect of this entire industry are these esports organizations. So you think of them as like franchises, okay? And these are organizations that sign a bunch of top players, and you rep sort of their logo in your gamer tag as you're playing, and you play on behalf of these teams. And so they supply you with a ton of resources for like training, you get coached, like all this kind of stuff. And the top valued esports org is this organization called TSM, and they're valued at around $540 million.
What?
Yeah. And so for comparison, if you look at the valuation of the MLS's Chicago Fire FC or FC Dallas, they're right at around $540 to $550 million.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a whole industry, man. That's, it's a crazy ass, and it's still exploding.
It's absolutely growing bigger. I mean, I was a little bit taken back because I thought it was going to be bigger, but most of these people, like this whole industry is only growing. It's only getting bigger. And if you have a kid that has a knack for some of these games, it might not be a bad idea to let them pursue it.
Here, Bird Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And these family gatherings around Thanksgiving could go real sideways right now if you don't set up some boundaries before you get there.
Here's a hot tip. Don't hang out with family at Thanksgiving.
There you go. Mm.
We're doing it solo this year, just the three of us.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we've done so much traveling already, and we're going to go back home for Christmas. We're like, hey, if anybody wants to come to us for Thanksgiving, you're more than welcome to. Nobody wants to come see us, so we're going to do it by ourselves.
Good for you guys.
Okay.
For those of you that don't have that option, though, Jackson is here to help you out how to create some boundaries, right? Especially if you're in a new relationship or no.
This has to do with anything. It can be a new relationship. It can be your family's pestering you about having kids. When are you going to get married? What are you doing in your career? All of that kind of stuff. I think this is pretty all-encompassing.
Are you allowed to say, of course you are, way before to like moms. All right, you know what's off the table? When we're going to have kids.
Not in my family.
Not in mine either.
You can't say that.
Nope.
Okay.
No way.
I mean, you can say it. This is not going to do much for you.
You know what you should do is the next time they ask that, be like, I've already got two. And just keep bothering.
Huh? What?
Yeah, I've already got two.
I mean, I'm sure that there are some that are saying, okay, just want to let you know that this Thanksgiving, zero politics. None, nada, zero. And if you don't like that, then don't come.
Well, I wish I could say that in my family, but I think for myself, and I know a lot of Asian households out there, they tend to prod and poke and pry for as much as they can get out of you for all you're worth. And so, you know, as grateful as you should be to have family to hang out with over the holidays, sometimes it can be a little bit stressful going into it. Maybe you've had some big life changes, or maybe you haven't had enough life changes going into them. And so it's important to go in prepared for whatever's going to happen to you. See, in my family, it's usually very career related. If you're pursuing something in medicine or in law or in tech, you're good to go. You get the how's it going? That's pretty much it. Then you have people like me who decided to, you know, take the path less traveled and, you know, pursuing a career in radio right now, of all things. And you get a lot more of these kind of pestering, nagging questions like, are you okay? What's going on?
Are you doing what you like?
Yeah, this is it? Radio? This is it, huh?
And so I've come up with a list of five different ways of tips to get you through this sort of question gauntlet. And the thing that inspired me to do this is actually a cousin of mine reached out to me And she actually had quit her job earlier this year, and she's currently unemployed. She had nothing planned and lined up for what to do afterwards, but she's trying to figure it out, and that's just the path that she decided to take. And she hit me up and was like, hey, I'm a little bit freaking out about Thanksgiving. Of all the times in my life, I've never not looked forward to going, and this year I'm not looking forward to going. So how have you handled it in the past? Because I've gone through this a lot.
Hey, your life has sucked a lot. How did you handle it?
And so I will caveat this list by saying this applies again for families that have the well intentions for you. This doesn't really apply for maybe like toxic families or anything like that.
They're not going out of their way to be passive aggressive. They think they are trying to be helpful.
Exactly. So I'm speaking from what in my experience, right? And that leads me into my first tip is first and foremost, understanding that while their methodologies of asking might leave room for improvement, they ultimately have your best intentions and are only looking out for you. I often have to remind myself a lot of this whenever a discussion might get particularly heated or emotion filled, is that ultimately they are looking out for your best.
But again, to reiterate, this is for those that have healthy families, not the ones that have like really dysfunctional ones where you are dealing with toxicity, narcissism, etc.
And I also want to throw this in there too. While you do say that they are looking out for your best interests, in their own opinions,
yes,
it's their view of what your life should look like, which is so unfair.
That is a very important caveat as well, is that it is their view of their best intentions, which does not apply to everybody. The next one that I have is rip the Band-Aid off so you can actually go enjoy yourself. Consider the fact that these conversations are going to be taking up a minimal percentage of your time when it comes to the grand scheme of hanging out with people. And the worst thing that you can do is avoid certain people and have that hanging over your head the entire time that you're around everyone and knowing that eventually you're going to have to go and talk to certain people.
I think you should go to a t-shirt shop and make a shirt. And on it, it should say, to ensure I have a good Thanksgiving, don't ask me these questions. And then just have a list of each question. Like, don't ask me when I'm getting married. Don't ask me when I'm having kids. Don't ask me, am I still unemployed? Like, just have the list. And all you have to do is just walk around the house with the list on your shirt and you're good.
How about a family draft? You go in order. You got 6 people, 7 people. First person in the draft says, okay, in the first round, I pick no politics. then you go into the second person. In the second round, you choose my relationship.
I like actually the idea of just having to talk to one person and then they have to share that to everyone so you don't have to have the same conversation 10 different times. My next one is find your wingman. If you have a sibling or a cousin that you're super close with and that understands your situation, have a chat with them beforehand and come up with maybe some sort of signal to bail you out of any situation that might get tense or uncomfortable. The next one that I have is don't talk too much. Sometimes oversharing can be the thing that actually ends up getting you in trouble in the end, and it's easier to get defensive. So sometimes your emotions can take over, and sometimes it's better left unsaid.
It seems to me like there's a common denominator here, and it's conversation. So why don't you just agree this year, no talking at Thanksgiving at all?
Ooh.
Nobody says anything. It's going to be a silent Thanksgiving.
No talking policy.
Just enjoy football.
Yeah.
I like that. And the last one that I have is ask them if they trust you. And when they inevitably, hopefully, say yes, remind them that you also trust yourself too and that you're figuring things out in your own time. That one I've had to do a lot of different times. I let people know, hey, look, you have to trust me that I'm doing what's best for me right now. I know it might seem a little bit crazy and unorthodox, but you just need to trust that I'm going to find my own way.
Can I ask you a favor to do a follow-up for this?
Sure.
Can you put a bingo card together of what you think your family's going to ask you at Thanksgiving this year?
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be hard to get bingo on that one.
Perfect. You better be ready for the answer, though. Like, hey, do you trust me for them to say, no, Jackson, I really don't. And that's why I'm making the decision for you.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet, so hopefully they just continue to have trust.
All right, so the email comes in. I don't even know how this can be debatable, to be honest with you. A friend breaks into his girlfriend's house, but he says for good reason, the girlfriend, not happy about it, breaks up with him. Who's right? Who's wrong? Abby's got the email.
Dear Burt Show, I love listening to you guys and respect your opinions so much. My best friend is going through a breakup and we want your honest opinions about whether or not you think what he did is a deal breaker. My friend We'll call him Louie, and his girlfriend of 1 year and 3 months just broke up over something that was meant to be of the best intentions. Louie and Gracie were in a very committed relationship, talking about marriage and spending their lives together. They had amazing chemistry and seemed so in love, Kristen.
Oh, amazing.
One day, they had plans for Louie to go over to Gracie's house to sleep over, a very common thing for them. Okay, brag a little more. They both had separate evening events and planned to meet up at her house afterwards.
Get your shack bag.
Around 9 p.m., Louie was texting Gracie to let her know he was heading over. She didn't respond to the text, so he called her and still no answer. This is highly unusual behavior for Gracie to not answer a phone call or text, especially when she was already home. Louie got super worried and wanted to go check on her. Months prior, Gracie had given Louie the code to her house. He had just never used it, but there had never been a discussion of when he should or shouldn't. She just told him what it was, but there was never any reason for him to use it. So on this particular night, he decided to use the code she gave him to go in and make sure she's okay. She was in bed, asleep, and was startled by his presence. She got extremely upset, and after a few words back and forth, she asked him to leave. She tried to get past it, but she couldn't, and broke off a 15-month serious relationship. She feels he crossed a boundary, but he feels he was protecting her and had nothing but good intentions. Louie is the kindest person and would never do anything to hurt or scare her. Please give me your thoughts on this so I can help him move on. Aww. Thank you, guys.
So the intention was good, right?
It was. It was intent versus impact. And I get, as a woman and you're in an apartment alone or whatever and you wake up and there's a man standing over you, you don't know who it is. That's Jesus. A little bit of a traumatic experience.
That's jarring, so for sure, yeah.
Let's acknowledge that. I think if they really know each other, like if he's a chronic worrier, like if he is a catastrophizer like Abby, mm-hmm. if you know this about your person and... they are texting you and hitting you up and you don't respond, they're immediately going to go to worst case scenario land. And then you can understand why they would come over and check on you, because they are legitimately fearful something bad has happened to you, especially if you not responding is completely out of the norm. I think in this instance, he made a mistake by going into the house, mm-hmm. but it wasn't of malicious intent.
Right.
So now you two establish boundaries as far as when it's okay, when it's not okay, et cetera, and then you forgive and you move on. If this was something he was doing all the time, well, then, yeah, that's a different issue. But I feel like there's something else going on with her that she kind of jumped the gun on breaking up with him.
She feels like this is such a terrible offense and such a bad interpretation of character that he made such a bad decision that she can't trust him again. I don't feel that way. I think this is a talk. Like, you scared the S out of me.
Yeah.
Please don't ever do that again. Ever, 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 ever. And then you move on from it. And that's why I think Kristen's right. Something else going on here.
If there's one thing I know about women in breakups is that it always feels like there's one thing that all of a sudden makes her snap and break up with the guy or the girl or whoever she's dating. But what I know about women is they typically break up with you over a period of time. And then there's just one thing that's kind of the final nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. So I think, Kristen, you brought up a really good point, is that if this guy is a chronic worrier and he has really high anxiety and that makes him hard to be around, this to me would be the final straw, because I can't think of any woman who would look at this situation through a vacuum and just see like, wow, he was so worried about my safety that he came in just to make sure I was okay. And even though I was really startled, like, that's actually, I would rather you be worried about me than not worry about me. I think the only logical explanation mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. that this guy has a pattern of showing that he's an overreactor. And this final really jarring time was the thing that really did it for her. So yes, I think when we just look at the scenario through the eyes of he was just worried about her. Yeah, I don't think you should have broken up. But if he has a history, a character resume of doing stuff like this, I don't blame her.
Yeah, there's something else going on here. Because if you're in a 15-month relationship, you're already exchanging the L word, yeah. right? You're looking at a future together. You are in love with this person. So this one thing wouldn't break a relationship that is that tightly bonded. We're not hearing something.
You're just... And I agree with you, Abby. This may be indicative of something that's been going on for a period of time, and this was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
All I'm hearing is that there's a guy with my exact thought processes out there singling on the mend. If you need a shoulder to cry on, Louie, you can break into my house anytime.
Hey, Burt Show listener Jackie, if you could forward your friend Louie's information to Abby at Abby at the Burt Show, she'd really appreciate it.
My security code is 999.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.